All right. Phew. What a long week that was. I got sick last Sunday after church and just finally started feeling better yesterday a little bit. But anyway, it's good to be back with everybody here today. Last week I talked about the perfect gift that had been given by God to all people. That the plan of salvation that was put in place before the foundation of the earth, and it was put in motion with the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. That is the perfect gift. But today is the last day of 2023. It's hard to believe another year has passed already. I mean, it really seems to fly anymore. I don't know why. But as every year when it comes to an end, there's a time of reflection, and we're going to do a little bit of an evaluation of ourselves today. So before we get into that, though, I want to open us with a word of prayer. So bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for another day to be here in your house. Lord, it is such a wonderful gift you have given us of your Son, but also the gift of freedom to get together and just be able to gather in worship anytime we choose with whoever we choose. Lord, we are so grateful for everything you are doing for us. We ask that you open our hearts and minds as we get into this idea of an evaluation, the one that is coming from you one day and the one that we all will face, Lord. Just open our minds to this so that we can learn and so that we can be better prepared when it becomes time to stand there before you. Lord, we ask you watch over this meeting that is conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, so the year is ending. Time is moving, no doubt about it, and things quickly change. Every time a year ends, we're reminded of how much change happens because we'll take a few moments to look back on the year. I'm pretty sure all of us have started this year with people who are no longer with us to finish it. All of us suffer loss at some point in time, whether it's a family member or just a friend or whatever, but we'll suffer a loss throughout the year. Then you also have the other side of that coin. There are new additions to the family that you didn't have at the beginning of the year and that you do have now, and you've increased your not only your family, but also your friends and things like that. So some changes are for the better, but change is inevitable. We are grateful that those who we have lost that are standing before the Lord, that are standing in the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us for a Christian to die, you are ushered immediately into the presence of the Lord. And we are grateful that we know that for people who have passed, the loved ones we have lost. But it's also a scary thought when you think of those who we don't know for sure. We don't really know what happened to them. We don't know what their eternal destination is. It's a little bit scarier for them because if you're not making it into the presence of the Lord, you're making it into a place of punishment. That would be eternal punishment. However, this sermon is not about people dying. Just want you all to know that. It's about evaluations. How many of you all have had to go through an evaluation at work? Anybody had to be evaluated at work? Let me see. Yeah. How many of you all look forward to it? Oh, boy, Scott. No, okay. An evaluation can be a scary time. It is a little tough, but sometimes they can be funny. I did look up some performance reviews, some of the funniest stuff that came out of performance reviews. I think I've added some to my repertoire for when I evaluate Noah. I'm just kidding. No. It says, since my last report, this employee has reached rock bottom and has started to dig. His men would follow him anywhere, but only out of morbid curiosity. This young lady has delusions of adequacy. She sets low personal standards and then consistently fails to achieve them. This is a good one. He has the wisdom of youth and the energy of old age. Y'all got to think about that one a minute. You'll get that one eventually. I have faith in you. Works well when under constant supervision and cornered like a rat in a trap. And this man is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot. You know, Mike did have an annual evaluation just not too long ago at his job, and his boss was somewhat disappointed in him. He said, you know, you used to be such a great worker. Every time I came by your office, you were always so busy working. He said, now every time I walk by, I hardly ever catch you working. And Mike said, well, they did carpet the hall in August. Think about it a second. I know this was going to be a little bit. I had to debate whether I even told you all this because you all, if I have to explain them, they're not funny. If you walk down the tile hallway, Mike can hear you coming. I'm sorry you all didn't get that one. I had a debate whether you all would get that or not. Should have went with my gut on that one. But seriously, I want us to consider what it would look like if God gave us an annual performance. Imagine if he sat down for a performance review with us. Where would we rate? Actually, anytime you're going to be reviewed, it's important to know what your reviewer is going to be looking at, right? That's one of the first things you need to know. Unfortunately, some people will take what's being reviewed and that's the only thing they concentrate on. They quit being well-rounded. They become very narrow-minded and focused on just achieving the review. That's all they want to do. They want to make sure they've checked all the boxes for the review. They forget everything else. As an employer or a person who gives reviews, it's important that your employees have a general idea of what you're going to be reviewing, but not everything, because they will tailor their performance to fit the review if they know what you're looking for. But it does help if we know. I mean, it would be terrible to go into a review where we think we've been doing a perfect job and it turns out the reviewer is wanting to measure how many times we wore a blue shirt this year. We have no idea that he's even measuring such a thing. Something stupid. And there are stupid things that happens in reviews. But I decided it's best if we look at some criteria of some different jobs, some different vocations or different occupations, to see exactly what people are looking for when they review something. So I decided that I would start with the job of a soldier. This is a simple one to do. You can find out exactly what they evaluate soldiers on. It's published. You can see it. It's an extremely important job, being a soldier, and it's directly responsible for the freedom we have here in America. This freedom to gather together, this freedom to do what we want, to be dissenting voices if we need to be with what society is doing. We have a freedom. It's all because of soldiers. So what criteria do they use to evaluate a soldier's performance? There are several items specific to rank and job, but there are others that are standard, and these are kind of standard for all soldiers. Physical activity, they're going to measure physical activity. They're going to measure physical endurance. Military bearing and neatness. Attention to duty. Cooperation, initiative, intelligence, force. And this one I went ahead and wrote down the definition for it because it was given. The carrying out of, with energy and resolution, that which on examination is believed to be reasonable, right, or duty. Judgment. Common sense, and leadership. Those are the areas our government has decided are important when it comes to rating a soldier. So when you think about those, these are pretty important things. The attention to your duty, the cooperation, the initiative, the intelligence, that doing what's right when you determine it. Once you determine what is right, sticking to it, not being swayed. That's an important trait. Common sense. Common sense is becoming less common, right? That's what they say. That's one thing. That's how they look at it for a soldier. There's another little group of people that I wanted us to look at, and that's those of citizens. Believe it or not, there are not performance evaluations in America for citizens, but there are things that we expect good citizens to be doing. One is we expect them to be patriotic. Patriotic means they have devotion and they show devotion. That's what that means to their country. Their cause. There are ways you can show patriotism. I have not written this. This is mainly stuff that I've downloaded from various websites just so I had a guideline. They say you can brush up on your country's history. You can obey the rule of law. You can pay your taxes. You can fly your country's flag. You can travel around your country and talk to your fellow citizens. Those are how you become patriotic. There's other thing you can do. You can model the personal qualities of good citizens, which are honesty, integrity, responsibility, respectfulness, compassion, kindness, tolerance, courtesy, self-discipline, moral courage, and the love of justice. You can be a productive member of society. You do that by being active in your community, keeping yourself well-informed, being vigilant, participate in your nation's political life, be a mentor, and be well-rounded. All of those are traits that make people good citizens. So if we were going to evaluate you on being a good citizen, we'd look at that. One last area that I want to look at, basic traits of a good follower. What makes a person a good follower? Well, they think for themselves, They carry out assignments with energy and assertiveness. They are self-motivated, self-starters, take calculated risk, receive high ratings from both superiors and peers, which means they have led and followed and obeyed correctly. They have modeled the right behavior. Taking initiative, not waiting to be told what to do, having a broad view of what your job entails, meaning saying, it's not my job, I don't have to do it. That's a terrible way to do your job, is to draw a boundary line around your job. That they are mentoring, teaching, and helping others, having strong support for the mission of the organization or group, encourage a sense of fairness in the group or organization. Now, when we look at these three different groups, there is quite a number of traits that they have in common. All three of these positions share common traits. Because what makes a good employee is the same thing that makes a good follower, a good leader, a good soldier, a good citizen. It's a lot of these same traits. It has to do with honesty and integrity and being willing to work and do what you've been asked to do. I picked these three particular vocations or groups because as Christians, we should be part of all of these. As Christians, we are automatically citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to start with the citizen part. Hebrews 11:13 says, those all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The people listed in the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, considered themselves strangers and pilgrims on earth because they considered themselves citizens of another country, a faraway country. That's what they were doing. So as a Christian, you should consider yourself a citizen of that same country, not this one. Earth is not your home. Earth is just where you are passing by. As we look at soldiers, we know that we're told to be soldiers because of Ephesians 6. That's where it tells us that we need to be wearing the whole armor of God. Only soldiers wear armor. Armor is not worn by your average citizen. It's worn by soldiers. It also says in 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. As a soldier of the king, as a soldier of God, you are not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. How much does the affairs of this life, how much does that dominate your time? How much time are you given to God? You're enlisted as a soldier in his battle, in this spiritual warfare going on. Are you paying attention to your duties as a soldier? That's a thought. We're going to start tying these together here in a minute. I particularly like the ending of Ephesians 6. It's verse 13 where it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We are called to fight. We are called to make a stand. God has given us direction. He has led us into a spiritual battle that we need to do all we can. And at the end, we still need to be standing. We need to be the last people standing. But it has a little bit more meaning than just being the last person standing. To be able to stand means that we have served proudly and boldly in the spiritual warfare that God has laid before us. And that when it is all said and done, we can stand in his presence knowing that we did our best. There's where our problem was going to be. Probably. We will probably not have that clear conscience when we get there because we will be thinking of all the times that we have failed to do what God has called us to do. When we failed to take the stand in the spiritual battle. The last position was that of follower. As Christians, we are followers. In Matthew 4:19, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" That is how Jesus called many of his disciples to follow him. He simply said, "Follow me." That's what he asked them to do. These men were willing to throw down their livelihood to follow Jesus. When they tossed down their nets and they said, "We're going to follow Jesus," that means they tossed down their way of life. They gave up how they provided for themselves and their families and committed their care to the Lord by following him. But Jesus still calls each of us to do the same. It's in Matthew 16, verse 24. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, it means that you are willing to set aside your own personal wants and desires, and you are willing to follow him. That's our job as a Christian, to follow, to be a good disciple. I believe each of us can agree that Jesus called us, each of us, to be a citizen, a soldier, and a follower or a disciple. So with that being established, how would you rate? It's the end of the year. God calls you in and says, "It's time to review you and see how you are doing." So I want you to think about what your annual evaluation looks like. And then I want you to also think a little bit deeper. Are you better this year than you were last year? Are you showing improvement in the areas you are weak in? Or are you continuing to live the same cycle of failure? It's a tough spot. We'll each stand before God one day. Each and every one of us, think about that. Each and every one of us will stand before God one day. And you're going to hear one of two things. You're going to hear what he told Belshazzar in Daniel 5. "You've been weighed into balances and you've been found wanting," which would be a terrible thing to hear. Or what he says in Matthew 25, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Are you ready to hear his verdict? Are you ready for that? Do you think, "Oh, I got saved, I don't have to do anything else. I told God, please save me. I don't want to go to hell, and so I'm good. I'm not going to hell anymore. I can live my life the way I want to. I can do what I want. I can just obey whenever I want to, disobey whenever I want to, but I'm good because I'm saved. That's all I have to do." If you were being reviewed and that was your attitude, what kind of evaluation would God give you for such a bad attitude? How long would an employee last if the employee said, "Hey, you needed to hire somebody. I came along. I took the job for you. My job is done. I did my part. I got on your payroll. I don't have to do a darn thing beyond that point. Don't ask me to do anything beyond that point. I'll just show up on Fridays. I'll pick up my paycheck. Eventually, I'll retire." You think you'd make it as an employee? What if you, as a citizen of a country, what if you are deciding to come into a country and you say, I believe in what this country stands for and I want to be part of this country, yet you fail everything there is about being a citizen. You don't pay your taxes, which in a Christian world means you don't pay your tithes. And you know what? I had the question come up twice again, so I should probably explain it. Difference between a tithe and an offering. Tithe is 10% to the church, period. Offering is anything you want to give beyond and above and beyond that point. And it can be to the church. You can pay your neighbor's electric bill. You can buy somebody groceries. You can do whatever it is you feel God has laid on your heart you should do with that. But that's an offering, and it's over and above your tithe. But as a citizen of God's kingdom, are you paying your taxes to God? Are you tithing to God? Are you? Are you following through with what is expected of a citizen? We go back and look at a citizen, we're expected to obey the laws. Are we obeying God's law? Are we being loyal and patriotic? Are we standing up for God? Or are we kind of ashamed? I bet you I could get more people in any given church to put an American flag on their vehicle before I could get them to put a Christian flag on their vehicle. And that's just a guess. I don't know that for a fact, but I'll bet you I'm right, because I know how people are when it comes to standing for Jesus. I'm all about standing for Jesus when I'm standing in a group of fellow believers. But if I'm standing in the world, no. I'm not going to make that stand. I'm going to do what the world thinks I should be doing. Not a very good way to show your citizenship of the kingdom of heaven, which God gives to you through the death of his Son. But are you a good follower? When you said, God, save me, you were basically throwing down your nets and saying, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Are you doing that? Are you doing what God expects? Do you think God leads you somewhere else besides church? Do you think it's possible if two things come up, God says, one's church and one's whatever else it is, do you think God's going to say, we'll do the other thing? Because I guarantee you, when that happens, God went to church. God didn't go to the other thing. And I don't even care what your other thing is. I don't care how important it is. I don't care how big of a deal it is. I don't care how rare it is. I don't care if you have front row tickets to your favorite concert, the favorite group you've ever had your whole entire life, and you have front row seats to that concert. God went to church. You went to the concert by yourself. I don't care about your family. Honestly, don't. I don't care if your family flew in from Cucamonga, rode a boat from Cuba. If they show up at your house and it's time to go to church, if they don't go to church with you, leave them at home. Go to church. Because God's going to church. You say you want to follow God, follow God. Quit following yourselves. Guys, it is a nonstop problem. I'll be honest with you, it's like herding cats. There's not a single person who has said under any sermon I've ever preached who has not heard me say it's important that you go to church. We're not. We're following ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about sick people. People get sick. But I will tell you this. I have a hard time counting on any particular person to be here at any given time. It's almost back to the situation this church had before, which we had to make announcements multiple Sundays in a row just to make sure all the deacons heard them. Because people didn't come to church. It's a mess. If I want to find a Christian, I should know where I can find that Christian. If I know what church they go to, all I have to do is look up that church and, oh, look, they meet 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I know where I can meet them. I'll go stand at the door of that church and poof, there they'll be. Not here. You stand at that door for weeks sometimes and never see a person come through that you're looking for. We're following ourselves way too much. Way too much. There is too much going on in this world that we can't let go of. We can't get our fingers off of it. We have to be involved in the things of this world. This world is only temporary. This world is going to be gone. It's going to be completely consumed by fire. Everything you have done in this world is going to be destroyed. The only thing that you take with you to heaven is what you've done for the Lord. That's all. So when you think that you're working extra shifts to invest in your future here on earth and you're giving up the things of God, you shortchanged yourself. Because the investment in eternity is the only one that matters. We need to get this straight. On your takeaways is a little list. These are little boxes you can check. How well are you doing as a citizen of heaven? Are you patriotic for heaven? Are you willing to stand up and believe in everything that heaven stands for and to tell others? Are you a productive citizen of heaven? Are you a productive citizen of the kingdom of God? Are you doing the things God has asked you to do? Are you helping to build? If it is, you can check these off. You can give yourself a grade. You can give yourself a number, scale 1 to 10. I don't care how you do this. This is a little evaluation. Are you active? Active. That's a big key. Are you active? Well-informed. Now, well-informed for a citizen means that you know about your country, your state, your city, whatever. You know about the laws. You know about the customs. You know about how people walk and talk and act and all that kind of stuff. You've studied it. Are you well-informed when it comes to the Bible? There's only one way to be well-informed. Study it. Vigilant. Are you vigilant? Vigilant as a citizen means that you are watching for where the world has its tentacles into you. And you're cutting them off. You are watching for where Satan has figured out how to keep you from doing what God has asked you to do. And you're strengthening that weakness that you have. Are you a mentor? Means you should be teaching others. I don't care where you are in your Christian walk, you can help somebody else. Always. You can always help somebody else. Honesty and integrity. These two go together. Honesty is about just being honest. Integrity is about being honest even when nobody's watching. Are you standing true and strong? As a soldier of the king, are you enduring or are you being beaten down by the world? Are you attentive to the duty that you have, or do you neglect it whenever it just seems to work out okay for you to do that? Are you cooperative, which means are you working with others? Do you show initiative? Are you intelligent? Again, this goes back to knowledge of God, knowledge of His Word, and knowledge of what God expects. Do you have that kind of intelligence? That force. Do you stand strong once you determine what is right? Do you persevere and follow that through to the end? Or again, do you just let the world change you? Judgment and common sense. Judgment, this is not standing above people saying, I'm better than you. This is about observing your life, their lives, how people are acting, what is going on. Are we actually doing the right thing? If we are not doing the right thing, people need to point that out. And they do that not out of judgment. They do that out of love, but they know it because they are watching. They're evaluating us. Common sense, I'm telling you, common sense, you would think that this would be a simple thing to explain to people, but it gets harder and harder all the time because we don't share common interest anymore. Satan has, he has completely taken over the world, and he has completely taken over times of worship. He makes sure that there are a ton of competing things in your life for your time. And if you don't believe me, just sit out here, watch the Randy Smith building across the street, at how many hours a day people come and go from the events on that side of the road. Every day. Every day. It doesn't matter what the weather is. They showed up. People don't show up for church when it rains. They'll show up over there no matter what. Satan has taken over. He competes. So this lack of common purpose is why we all are so scattered everywhere throughout this world trying to figure out our best way instead of working together to achieve it. As a disciple, you're a disciple of God. You told him you wanted to be a follower of his. You told him you wanted to give your life for his because he gave his life for you. Are you thinking? Because good followers think. Not only do they memorize why they should do things, what's going on, but they understand the reasoning behind it. When God says, you should go to church, easy rule, we can memorize that. Go to church. All right, go to church. Do you understand why you go to church? It's important. It's where the fellowship comes from. It's where the strength comes from. It's where the knowledge comes from. It's where how to apply what you know comes from. It comes from the teaching of a church. It's important that you do that. You know, there's the example, and I probably mentioned it before, of the guys talking. And the pastor goes to see a guy who quit coming to church. And he says, Pastor, I don't have to go to church. God is everywhere. I've actually had people tell me that. All pastors everywhere have had people tell us that. God's in the woods. I can God be with me when I'm hunting. God be with me when I'm fishing. You hear that? During the middle of their conversation, the preacher just reached over, took a pair of tongs, and he grabbed a coal out of the fireplace. And he set it on the side of the hearth while they were talking. What do you think happened to the coal? Went out. Went out. It's because it wasn't grouped with the rest of them. Being together is what makes you strong. You have to be a self-starter and you have to be self-motivated. You can't just say, well, I'm just waiting for God to tell me what to do. I hear that. I've heard that. Waiting on God. He's going to tell me. As soon as he tells me, I'm going to jump right on it and I'm going to get there. You got to be on your own on this. You have got to have studied his word. You got to know what he expects, and you have to do it without being told. That's what makes a good follower. Who all saw the TV series MASH? Anybody ever see MASH? Remember what made Radar such a good helper is every time you needed something, he was already standing there with it. Good helpers are able to do that. Good followers are able to get right there. They anticipate the next move. They are prepared for what's going to happen. They are supportive. They are encouraging. Are you supportive of other people in the church? Are you encouraging those who are working? Are you? Are you obedient? Now, there's a big one. Being obedient. Obedience is a 24/7 job. You can't be obedient in one thing and be disobedient in another and think the scale balanced. It's not. Disobedience is disobedience. You can't say, well, I showed up on Saturday to mow the yard or whatever you've done for the church on a Saturday and say, so I don't have to go to church on Sunday. That's not how that works. That's not obedience. You can't say, I have put in 4 hours this week at the church. I don't have to do anymore, so I don't care what the church has going on. I'm not showing up. Not how it works. You want your church to grow strong, support your church. And nothing makes it grow better than attendance. If WMU is having a meeting, go to WMU. Why not? Where would God want you to be? Where do you think God went? You think God went to Martin's and bought groceries? Or do you think he went to WMU? God's WMU. Got to be obedient. Obedient all the time. That is the rule. Not my rule. I didn't make up that rule. But that's obedience. You can do whatever 100 times, but as soon as you are disobedient once, you're disobedient. Part of being a good disciple is being obedient. Being fair, which means you are here. You are helping others. You're doing your part. You're taking your share of the load. And being a mentor. Again, we're back to being a mentor. Being able to teach somebody. You have to be helping others. Nothing will make a person feel better than helping somebody else. That is so true that they use it as part of a recovery plan. When people come in depressed, the psychologist will say, you should go help somebody. Find somebody who needs something, go help them. And as soon as people do that, it will change their outlook. Just being there for other people, helping other people, is a big step toward growth. So there's your checklist. These are the things that you can look at. You can say, well, I don't know. If I was to stand before God and he took the three things he expects me to be, where do I stand? It's better to do this evaluation right now and shore up your weak spots than to stand before God and have him say, well, you've been weighed, you've been found wanting. Nothing you can do about it at that point. Too late. Too late. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, for the examples you have given us in your word. And Lord, we thank you for not only giving us a rundown of how we should be, how should we be acting? How should we behave? Lord, all that kind of stuff. You actually sent your son who modeled it for us. He showed us what it was like to be a true servant of you, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, for the guidance, the direction. And Lord, we ask that you step in and you help all of us as we continue to strive to try to be better Christians. Lord, it's the start of a new year. It's a chance for us to get a new start. Start over with a clean slate, Lord. You are great at giving second chances and 102nd chances and however many more it takes, Lord. We thank you for your long suffering and your patience, Lord. We just ask you to be with us so we can continue to grow stronger in you every day. Lord, watch over us all, and we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.